It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network on this Jethro FM, wherever you are, all over this great state of Michigan, or in the world, because we have people all over the world that take our podcast, and you can too. Go to thegrillingguys.com and click on the little button you'll see, and bang, we'll send it to you. Guess what? No charge. It's on the house. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, also, thank you, Jop. Want to give a shout-out to Michigan Talk Network. We're on in Lansing on WJIM. They like us so much they play us twice.
Do they?
Saturday and Sunday.
Well,
and then, of course, the home of Ferris State College, Big Rapids, WBRN, a big stick of the north there. We got a lot of listeners up in that Big Rapids and Reed City area, of course, my stomping ground. So, and of course, you're a Ferris alum, and
yep.
And you serve on the alumni board and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
you've got to give back when you can, and this has just worked out. So,
you're a great group of people up there. You're good at giving back. You do a lot of charity work. But anyway, it's going to be a chilly show. But before we get into chilly, it's the chill is in the air.
Yeah.
And
kind of.
My game cams are going nuts.
Are they really?
I'm getting the bucks are all hanging out together, and they're hanging out right by my camera. So it's really cool. Really cool. Yeah, I'm getting excited.
So you turned it around so it views the right way then?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking.
Because you were getting nothing earlier.
Nothing.
All you got was tree bark. Yeah.
I know. There's a lot of pretty pictures of trees, and it's like, the deer are gone.
Yeah.
And then I did a little scouting, and I saw fresh hoof tracks here and there, and it's like, oh, they're moving this way now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just spun it around, and
right.
Boom, they're everywhere.
Yeah, there you go.
They were hiding behind the camera the whole while.
Right, yeah, right. I guess that's what's happened. Yeah, I'm still trying to close my dang pool, and I want to get it down. I had a huge algae and phosphorus problem this spring when I opened it. So talked to a couple people.
Everybody did.
Read a little bit, and it was the reason was is the water wasn't cold enough yet. And that stuff, the algae grew, and then over the winter when it freezes, I don't know, I got an explanation. Long story short is, one, I got to balance it. Two, I got to wait till the water's 65 degrees to cool it down. And we haven't heated it, obviously, in weeks, but it's still hanging around 73, 74 degrees. So
I closed mine last weekend, and my daughter-in-law and a couple grandkids came over. We went and picked apples on Sunday, and she goes, it's going to be really nice all week. I wish you would have kept the pool open. And
right.
I'm thinking, yeah, I know, but I close it this weekend every year for a reason. And it's the leaves and I've got hickory nuts and all this stuff that wants to go in there. And,
right.
You know, I'm the guy that has to, I'm the maintenance man.
Yeah.
So
right.
You might want to swim, but
yeah,
you're going to have to use the hot tub.
Yeah. You got options. Right?
Yeah.
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 It's all good.
We're not limited.
Right.
But, starting to shoot, getting my, I guess my mojo going. I want to get those muscle memories going and just get to, you think you're a good shot. Over the years, you shoot so much, but you do lose it if you don't practice, like anything.
Yeah, you get older, and you're it's not the memory of your muscles. You don't have memory you had muscles is the problem.
Well,
so,
the strength.
Right.
The
yeah,
strength.
Yeah, exactly.
I shoot a 72-pound Bowflex compound bow, and if you're not in the right position when you pull back on that thing, you're gonna groan.
Yeah. Yeah, I use a crossbow now. Gotten had some accident and shoulders can't take that pull anymore. So.
Do you? You use a crossbow?
I have one.
You have one.
Absolutely. And I have not got it out yet to shoot.
One.
Right. Yeah. But.
Well, those you got to practice with too.
Absolutely. 100%. You got to practice with everything because last thing you want to do is not put a killing shot on and then you've got an ugly night of tracking. And then if you don't find it, pretty much your prize is gone. As
yeah.
Tim Sobey has told us many times.
4 hours.
Yep. 4 hours after the animal passes, you better have it cleaned out or you're going to start getting sour meat. So that's a big thing with hunters. So,
yes.
You know, put a killing shot on them, boys
yes.
and ladies. And, you know, everything will be good.
So you want to have. you want to have your plans ready if you're a deer hunter. And I know a lot of you are, because we get a lot of positive comments on social media from people that hunt and like to eat venison. Even if they don't shoot it, they like to eat it.
Right.
But it's a good time to start planning out your food.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't put food plots in or anything like that, but I do plan out the food for deer camp.
Yeah.
Because I'm also the chief cook. I organize camp. I cook camp. I set up camp. And I take care of a couple of old guys.
You're the kind of guy I'd like to go to camp with. Well, I just sit in the lawn chair. Bob, I'm hungry.
I think you have.
Right, yeah.
We've got stories.
Let me sit in this sunny spot so I warm up a little bit. I might even take a nap while you're setting up camp. Yeah.
But, you know, deer camp is what it is. You've got these guys you hunt with that you like to hunt with. And
right. Your boys do a little of that with you, too,
yes,
don't they?
This year in particular, we've got some cool trips planned. The thing I wanted to mention is, you know, you can set up a shared calendar with them. So if you're the organizer, you might want to do a shared calendar and, put your dates in there. So everybody knows what time you're arriving and what to bring. And you can just,
you sound like you're getting organized.
Group text is a biggie too.
Yeah. See, yeah. You know what? I'm not a big group text fan, and here's why. There's always a few people on there that the number shows up, but I don't know who it is. And because I don't have everybody in my address book, right? That sometimes I'll get on those and it's like, who am I talking to? I really don't even know.
But if you're in a group text, I mean, for hunting in particular, it's just your buddies, or in my case, my sons and son-in-laws. So they're all in there. Some will bother to look. I've got a couple of kids who maybe don't answer very quickly, and
that apple didn't fall far from the tree, right?
I don't know. I seem to answer.
Okay. Yeah.
But
we're busy. We're all busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't mean to kill your buzz. Keep going, brother.
No, I think you pretty much accomplished what you set out to do. Anyway, we're going to talk about chili today, and my lack of responses to Randy's texting. Incessant texting.
No, I'm good. I get more Bob than I need, so don't worry about me. We're good. We're all good. No, I'm kidding, of course. But so chili comes in a lot of different varieties. We're going to cover those throughout the show. But we used to get in a chili cook-off every fall, and we won it a couple times, and then we kind of petered out. And I don't know of any that are out there right now. I'm sure there's hundreds of them, but
yeah.
The problem that I had with a chili cook-off is that it's for bragging rights, and most of the people that are judging are strangers, right? And so you end up cooking a lot of chili for a lot of people you don't know.
And that one we used to do in Ada, a lot of fun teams.
Right.
But there was one team that won every year after a while, and they had the goofiest chili. But they gamed the system. They learned how to work the judging, and they had all these cute little girls running around helping people fill out their judge cards.
Yeah, right.
And so I just, you know, I'm all about the quality of the chili more so than, you know, trying to game the system.
Yeah, you won nothing. You want a little trophy, and then it collects dust in your garage or wherever you're going to do it. But it's just, you're right. It's the fall of the year. It's get out there. You crack it open in the morning at 5 a.m. You start cooking, and you're judging by 11, and you better have a great bowl of chili, right?
But that first year we did it, I think, was the best chili we ever made.
Yeah. Yeah. We
actually got invited to Nationals. That was a sanctioned cook-off.
Right.
And I did the math on going out to Reno, and it was about $10,000.
Yeah.
And I wasn't feeling all that rich
right,
at the moment.
Right, yeah, right. I'm not.
I still don't.
Right, and one, I don't care about winning a national chili contest. We're not going to commercialize that. It would have been.
It would have been fun, though.
Right.
I mean, to experience it once. I mean, there had to be some awfully good chilies out there.
Right, yeah. Probably better than ours, honestly, but would have been fun.
I doubt it.
Yeah, right. But anyway, your list of Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to talk ingredients in your chili next, because this is the time of year when a lot of the vegetable gardens are coming to an end, but this is the best time to collect vegetables for your chili. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the body, we'll bring the smoke.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. There's a little snap in the air in the mornings. Man, it's still getting up into the 80s. We're in mid-September. I think that's probably going to change.
Pretty typical.
Yeah, but it's going to change. But I just can't get all juiced up for hunting season yet when it's this warm every day.
Oh, you need some game cams. I'll send you some pictures.
Yeah, right. I'll take a look. But
you should try and make it up one weekend. I'm going to go up every weekend. And
are you?
There will be a weekend when I'll be all by my lonesome and I could use my job.
I'm not sure that's the weekend I want to be there, but that would be all right, though. I could do that. It sounds like work.
Don't make me tell stories.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But anyway, we were talking a little bit about chili in the last segment. And before we get into recipes and types, Bob discovered something probably many, many years ago, but we've discussed it a couple times, and that is the vegetables that you get this time of year. There's stuff left on the vine,
yeah.
Maybe at some of the farm markets, right? It's tomato season's kind of over with, peppers kind of over with. I was driving out on the west side of Grand Rapids this week, and there were the muck fields out there in Hudsonville and beyond.
Best place to grow celery.
Right. Well, there was onions that they had removed out of the ground and piled them into like a windrow. In the muck fields, and then I think they were drying, and then there was a machine coming along just scooping them up and putting them in big bins.
Nice.
And I had not seen that before, but it's all mechanized.
The process.
Right? Yeah, it's all mechanized. But anyway, all of that made me think of those almost overripe tomatoes and those peppers that might even have a little bit of wrinkle on them.
Yeah.
But you smoke those,
if
right?
If you're roasting or smoking or anything like that, they're going to wrinkle up then anyway.
Right. Right, but I just feel like the flavor's concentrated in it or
is,
something.
It is,
and
especially with a tomato. If you think about middle of winter when you're buying those greenhouse tomatoes and they're hard and
right.
I mean they're not any good. You got to let them sit on the counter for a week,
right,
to get ripe,
right.
So
and these are vine ripened, but because they've been hanging on the vine for extra time.
Oh, they're so good, and I have a favorite place I like to get my tomatoes. I'm still producing tomatoes, but it's the cherry tomatoes that will not stop.
Oh, I love those things.
They're just going nuts.
They're like candy. That's the best snack in the world. Rinse those off and just pop a few
well,
in your mouth. I
and
love
that's
those.
What prompted me to do some chili the other day is just I had a whole bunch of tomatoes, and, you know, after a while, you can only eat. So there's only two of us there.
Right.
So I just took a bunch of them, and I cut them and sautéed them and cooked them down into a nice base. And then started throwing my jalapenos are done. And so I started throwing some jalapenos in there. And next thing you know, I got some onions going. And I threw in some taco meat I had left over from the night before. And boom, a couple cans of different beans. And I've got chili.
Yeah.
And there's so many ways you can do it. But one of the things I want to try this year that I wanted to see what you thought of is I saw this person, this influencer, who's promoting pumpkins, and she literally takes stew and soups and different things, and she roasts it in the oven in a pumpkin. She guts a pumpkin out, puts her soup in there, puts the top back on it and then roasts it. And because pumpkin is, like with this chili I made, we canned a bunch of pumpkin last year and I still have some left over. So I poured some pumpkin in with this chili. Man, is it fantastic for soups and stews and chili. So I'm going to try doing a chili and roasting it in a pumpkin and see how that works out. This one turned out really wonderful.
So
because it's really
the pumpkin is the vessel.
The pumpkin,
you make the chili and then you pour it in there and then just heat it in the oven.
That's right.
And so you're getting a pumpkin influence in your chili.
Yeah.
I'm probably not the guy to talk to about that because pumpkin is probably one of my least favorite items on earth.
You don't like pumpkin pie?
I don't. You've seen that little graphic before where they made the thing out of the PVC pipe and the pumpkin sitting on top like it's going to the bathroom and it makes a pie? That's my visual.
Oh.
That's my visual.
Well, you're looking at the wrong site.
No, I'm not. That's spot on.
I think you had some pumpkin trauma when you were a boy.
I'm just not a pumpkin pie. I like fruit pies. I'll eat fruit pie all day long.
I bet you like apple pie because you're Dutch.
Yeah,
you're Dutch. You got to.
Yep, and with a sharp piece of cheddar cheese.
Okay.
My mom used to make apple pie and serve the sharp, just a little
when the pie's still hot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, the veggies are a big deal. And whether you try the pumpkin thing or not, you like butternut squash and all these things, you could do it in a lot of different things. But basically when you're scooping your chili out, you're getting a little bit of that meat from the vegetable and it's just adding something to your
another dimension, another layer.
And you know, if you like smoking things, you could do those little acorn squash or whatever, and you could leave the top off them and throw all those soups and stews and things in your smoker and pick up some of that savory goodness from your smoker. And that's just going to add to what you're making. But the process, of course, that you're using has everything to do with the outcome, right? And there's always tricks to getting the right recipe down pat. And I'll tell you what, I've screwed up recipes plenty of times by not following the process, by just... You know, maybe opening a bottle of wine too early.
No such thing. I don't see the error there, right?
Well, depending on the process, if the bottle of wine's done and you're not done with your process, then you're going to have a problem.
One of the things is done, right? Either the bottle of wine or the process, right? I mean, generally, you might be able to coordinate them so they get done together, but usually it's one or the other.
So what spices do you like to use in chili?
You know, I'm not unlike you. You enjoy a lot of heat. I hate to tell you, but a little paprika, and I like garlic in almost anything. I know garlic is not a strong profile in a chili, but chili powder is and paprika, I think, are both good. And I like the smoky paprika. And I don't smoke my own. I buy it in a jar.
I find like paprika to be very mild anyway, so you can tend to you can be pretty liberal with that,
and not
hurt anybody,
right? But you know the big heat, the spicy heat, the back of your throat stuff. I stay away from that. A little bit of it, a tinge of it, just a touch is good for me. But
your Dutchness is coming.
Well, my palate says that I want to taste the third and fourth bite, and when the first one burns me, I'm like, okay, I can't get the rest of this down.
I'm of the belief that you have to make it for everybody.
Sure.
And if you make it too spicy, for yourself, you're going to have to eat it all.
Yeah, right.
And we've got stories about stuff like that in our house, but there's you definitely have to make for the masses, and it's easy enough if you have a little Cholula or some fresh jalapenos chopped or whatever. You can spice up your own.
Right, put it on the table as a condiment, right?
Yeah,
exactly. And that's where I would go. I'm kind of intrigued about this pumpkin thing, though, not because of the pumpkin flavor. But again, eat with your eyes first.
Yeah.
And you set a big old hollowed out pumpkin.
I know.
And reserve the top, let it cook with the top off, right? And then just serve that top on there. And when you open it up, it's going to steam.
It's going to look awesome.
It's going to look awesome.
It's a presentation.
A little ladle in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
You're buying in, aren't you?
Well, I kind of am.
Think I got him.
Yeah, right. It's not for that pumpkin flavor, but it's the look, man.
Well, but look at, I know you like butternut squash.
I do. I like most kinds of squash, but that Pumpkin's just not my favorite, but Pumpkin, it's time to go. We're at the end of a segment, so you're listening to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Gotta feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Man, here we are in the middle of September, Bob, and we're talking chili today. And I'm not sure we've hit much of it, but you've got a couple variations we want to cover now. So
yeah, and one of the things you and I played around with when we did those competitions was different meats, and we smoked sirloin, we smoked burger, if you don't have a smoker, you don't have to smoke obviously everything you do, but you can play around with your meats a little bit. No touch that.
Smoking them.
So one of the things that I would encourage people to try is chorizo.
Yeah, that's got a little bit of bite to it. I mean, depending on where you make it,
you're being such a sissy again.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying if you've not used it, and that's a Hispanic Mexican profile.
Yeah.
In that meat, so it's got a little bit of spice to it.
Yeah, but typically, like, I like the stuff Sobey makes.
Right.
It's not a hot chorizo at all.
Right.
It's just got a wonderful flavor to it. And I'm telling you, if you struggle with your chili, go up to a place like Sobey and buy some chorizo. Don't get the stuff from the supermarket, that Supremo or whatever. It's all fat. It's really, it tastes good, but it comes from a meat factory.
Right.
It's not what you want. But there's all sorts of, especially like in West Michigan, all over Michigan, in the Mexican markets and supermercados and La Familias, right, and places like that, a lot of those places make some really good chorizo.
Right.
So I would say that would be one you could try. But if you are so inclined to try sirloin,
that was
sirloin's
my favorite.
Fantastic.
We won with that.
Yeah.
Okay. And the thing is that we cut it thin and smoked it because we wanted, at the end, we were going to dice it up in little cubes,
right,
to put in the chili so you could
that
have...
That was a pain.
Right, it was.
Because you had to feed 500 people.
Right, yeah, we were making 10 gallons, I think, or something. It was a ridiculous amount of chili. But the point is that we sliced that sirloin thin so that when we cubed it up into little pieces, there was smoke on every piece.
Yeah.
I didn't want middle pieces that never got any smoke. And then the other thing that was cool about that is, remember they put us right by the front door.
Yeah.
Because
we had our smoker out there.
We had our smoker out there, and it was a little bit of show, and we were smoking up the whole place. People
I
could
think
smell
we even
it.
Broadcast that time from there.
Yeah, we could have. Yep, I don't remember that. But anyway, at the end of the day, that smoke added a really different profile to our chili versus anybody else's. Then the next year, we oversmoked. Right.
Yep.
And it was too smoky and it went bitter. So yep. that's the lesson there is that everything in moderation, but it doesn't necessarily mean that when you turn the smoker on, you just want to let her go.
So let's say you have and a lot of listeners do have smokers. So let's say you have a little smoker, even if it's a little Masterbuilt or something like that. Take a chuck roast.
Yeah.
Smoke a chuck roast. That's wonderful for chili.
Yep.
And if you're if you're getting it from a butcher, tell them to cut it 1 inch thick.
There you go. That's where I was going to go, is that, again, that thicker piece of meat, a chuck roast you'd get from a big box store, is going to be a couple inches thick. That's the way they cut them. And the beautiful part about smoking it is that it's still firm like a steak when you're done with it, whereas a chuck roast turns into a pot roast in a crock pot or a pressure cooker, and then it gets a little stringy. And you don't want that in your chili. You still want to be able to cube it up.
Exactly, exactly.
Right.
That's why you want it cut about an inch thick.
Yep.
So ground beef is what most people use, and that's just fine.
Well, your ground venison, too, is in there, right?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if you can your venison like I did last year, you can just dump one jar in your chili mix. It's all cooked and cubed. You're all ready to roll.
Yeah.
And that stuff is fantastic. But the beans. The beans are another thing that make a great variation. Cowboy Rob Russell used to have something he called cowboy beans. And that was pinto beans with smoked butt in there and things. Pinto beans are wonderful. I put it in this chili this time. Half light red kidney beans and half pinto beans. The thing is, you always say eat with your eyes, and that gives you a variation. If you throw some black beans in there too, now you've got, you know, just a really cool presentation when you serve that chili. It's like, wow.
Colorful.
It's not just basic. It's not from a can.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you can tell.
It looks inviting.
So speaking from a can, because I think I know the answer before I ask
Don't
this,
speak from the can.
But leave the door open. They'll hear you better, right? You could text, too. But the beans, you soak your own beans before you use them. I'm a guy that gets them out of a can.
Yeah.
They're better if you take the time to use dry beans and then hydrate them and then put them into your dishes.
And there's variations of that you can do too. Like when I was in that ghost kitchen, the people from Sabor Mexicano, I got to be good friends with them, and I watched what they did, and they bought these big bags of pinto beans that were, I think they called them pre-washed or something like that.
Okay.
So they're not as hard as the dried beans. So they cook up a lot faster.
Okay.
There's all sorts of variations you can do, but if you just want to get them out of the can, get them out of the can. But I'm going to say dump the liquid out first.
Yeah, yeah, the slime.
Yeah.
Especially that's on kidney beans. There's like it's almost, it's not gelatinous because it's not that thick, but it's thick.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't want that in my chili. I want
the beans. Variations of beans you can do. Then I think I'd like to talk a little bit about when I was a young dad and I had it made because I was home every day by 3:30. I didn't know that wasn't working
well,
hard.
That's why you had five kids. Oh, yeah.
But I'd sometimes get home before my wife so I could be with the kids. And, you know, you got all those little rugrats running around. They're hungry. You better have dinner ready by 5 o'clock. Because they're going to be gnawing at your arm. So if I'd get home a little late or whatever, I had this process down, and we were really turned on to white chili at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I would have a pack of ground turkey, and I would have a big jar of those Great Northern beans.
The white ones. Yep.
And I would have a block of Monterey Jack and a jar of salsa, Chi-Chi's salsa. And
there's a name you haven't heard in a while, Chi-Chi's.
Well, they still make chips and salsa.
Yeah, right. Got out of the restaurant business, though,
Well, that's not uncommon, right?
Right, right.
So I got it down to where I could have this. I called it my 22-minute chili. So I'd get home, I'd throw a skillet on, get it warming up, put some olive oil in it, start dicing up some onions, and I would. By the time that pan was hot, I had an onion diced up. I'd throw that in the pan, and I'd turn the heat down a little bit. I would then throw the turkey on there, put some cumin on there, and that's a big spice for chili, and then garlic, and I'd get sautéing that. In the meantime, I would throw a big pot on the other burner. I would dump in that jar of white Great Northern beans. You can use white beans, navy beans, whatever you like, but the Great Northern were on that recipe. And then I would fill that jar up with water, dump that in. I would dump a jar of salsa in, and I'd get that warming up and starting to simmer. By the time that was simmering, my turkey was done. I would dump in the turkey, stir it in, and I'd have already shaved that 1 pound of Monterey Jack down. At the last minute, I would shut it off. I'd fold in that Monterey Jack, 22 minutes in and out, dads. There you go. You got dinner for the kids. I'm telling you, that recipe kills. And I've since added some Green Giant niblets and put some corn in there with it. And that is just fantastic. That's how the Flat River makes theirs.
Yeah.
They put a little corn in it.
Right.
Yeah.
White corn chili.
Yeah.
Turkey. Yeah. Interesting.
You can
That's
also,
a cool recipe.
You can also cube up chicken breasts or whatever you want to do. But
right.
The ground just, you know, made it too easy.
Yeah.
And that's how I found the recipe in the Grand Rapids Press long ago.
Yeah. Well, that is good. So coming up next, we got one more chili recipe for you. He's not gone verde yet, but I think he's going to. So you listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick around. We're going to give you one more chili recipe.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
And now, back to the Grilling Guys Show.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. I hope you're teed up for a good weekend. I know I am, and we are right after the show here. I'm headed north with my bride, and we're just going to go spend a night together. It seems like every weekend I either had a barbecue going or we had people over, you know, and I'm cooking for them, and now it's just a little bit of a getaway. So we're going to just do an up north couple days, one night type thing and have some fun.
Sounds fun.
We've been talking about chili.
And pumpkins.
Yeah, and pumpkins. And if you put your chili in your pumpkin, I don't know what that's called, but it's creative.
You know, when I was a young banker, I had a regional office in Cincinnati, and I went down there every month. And the first time down there, I had to stay for a couple of weeks, and my counterpart down there grabs me at lunchtime. He goes, "You ever had Cincinnati chili?" I go, "No." He said, "Come on. We're going." And I'm like, "Well, tell me about it." And then we're walking over there, and he's telling me, "Well, it's kind of like chili, but they put chocolate and coffee." And I'm like, and then they put it on spaghetti noodles, and I'm thinking, this sounds horrible. And we walked in, and I smelt it, and it's like, oh, kind of cool. And then I see it coming out in plates, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting really hungry. Cincinnati chili is made famous mostly by Skyline now as the dominant brand, but it's basically a chili sauce that's ground beef and tomatoes, but they actually do add coffee and chocolate to it, and it just changes the profile. Instead of cumin, excuse me, it's got a different, it's wonderful. Just like a Coney sauce isn't chili, it's different.
Right, and that's what wonderful. I would say about the Cincinnati chili is that I make chili, it's chunky. There's whole beans, there's diced meat, there's bigger chunks of onion, bigger chunks of
right.
peppers and things.
Yeah.
This is not pureed, but it's smooth.
It's like somebody chewed it for you.
Yeah, it's pretty smooth, yeah.
So Cincinnati chili, if you go to Skyline, and if you don't live anywhere near Ohio or don't want to venture into that state because they'll eat your cats,
Just the people that aren't from there.
Yeah.
That's all. That's a whole nother discussion.
That was funny. You can buy it at Kroger. You can buy cans of Skyline at Kroger, and you can do your very own. So a Skyline chili, I get it five ways. That's the max they do it. And it's basically spaghetti noodles, and then they put kidney beans on top, and then they pour the Skyline chili sauce on top, and then they put tons of finely shredded cheddar on top, and then they put chopped onions on it, and they serve it to you with some oyster crackers around the side because the chili always leak, the noodles always leak a little bit. And then there's a bottle of hot sauce on every table. And I'm so excited right now just thinking, and I'm not even going to get any today, but
right. It's
so stinking good. Every time I go to one, I have to post it. I do ratings on restaurants all the time. And that thing is just one of my absolute favorite foods.
Right.
And that's Cincinnati chili. Well, you can make your own. And I found a recipe that is pretty good. It's still better just to buy the Skyline. But this one's pretty good. It's ground chuck, it's garlic, two Hershey bars, a little wine vinegar, some EVO, and I use the garlic EVO from Old World Olive Company, and then a large can of tomato sauce, three ripe tomatoes diced, some white pepper, allspice, some sugar, a little bit of cumin, tablespoons of paprika, so it's pretty good there, and a tablespoon of cinnamon. And that,
so you got chocolate and cinnamon in there.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that one didn't have coffee. So, and that's why I tried it, and it actually turns out quite good. You can get this on thegrillingguys.com, and just in the search bar on top, just put Cincinnati chili in. And I know our producer, Mr. Scott Pastor here, the owner of the station, is going to go home and try this when he gets out of here.
Yeah, we didn't mention Conrad is not with us today. He had some medical challenges. As you guys know, maybe you don't know, Conrad is in need of a kidney. And so he has been challenged with dialysis these last few weeks and had a little hiccup in that process yesterday. Had to have a little outpatient surgery, we were told.
Yeah.
He came through just fine, but wasn't here today to produce us. Our thoughts are with you, Conrad, that get over this hurdle, which I believe you have, but two, that there's somebody out there that has a blood type like yours, and we match it up and get you a kidney.
I believe it's type O.
Right, yeah. O positive, I think he said, or something like that. But anyway, it's all through St. Mary's Hospital here in West Michigan that it's all coordinated through.
And what a terrible challenge to have, though.
Right.
I mean, you take it for granted.
Right.
So be easy on your kidneys if you're a heavy drinker.
Be easy on your kidneys. Yeah, and this is a hereditary thing because his sons have it too, or one of them. But anyway, by all means, Conrad has blessed us to talk about this. I don't want to want you thinking we're talking out of school, but
no,
he needs some help.
He needs a volunteer.
Right.
He needs somebody that can donate a kidney.
Right. And his one son gave a kidney to the other. I mean, this thing is deep in their family. So it's our thoughts are with you, buddy. And we're praying for you. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. So back to that Cincinnati thing. You can go to thegrillingguys.com, punch in Cincinnati chili, and this recipe will kick out. Another one that you'll notice, and I'm not going to cover the whole recipe because we're probably a little short on time, but Rob Russell turned me on to one that's called the Green Menace.
Okay.
And you said I'm going Verde. I am going Verde because the Green Menace, I believe it actually came out of Canada, but it's with a bit of a Verde profile, which, of course, is going to call for hatch peppers out of Colorado or New Mexico.
Okay.
And tomatillas. And the Green Menace is...
Those are the tomatillas are those little... They look like they got a wrapper on. They're about the size of a...
Yeah, it's a green-looking tomato.
Golf ball, maybe.
It's a green tomato with... pardon me, I need a drink of water.
Yeah, the tomatillos got a little paper wrapper on them. And you peel that off, of course, before you use them. But there's a green tomato-like fruit in there.
And you can roast those. You can leave the skin on that tomatilla. You can take it off. I smoked them lots of times. And I'm not the biggest Hatch chili fan, so I'll use green chilies and jalapenos.
Mm-hmm. Poblanos are good in that, too. Yep.
But you end up with a green chili, and then, of course, smoked pork shoulder, pork butt barbecue is what you chop up to put in this green menace.
Right.
And then I've made it several times. It's actually really quite good. You serve that over rice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's no beans in it, which when Rob told me about it, I'm like, well, it's not chili if there's no beans.
Right.
People say they want no bean chili. I scoff.
Yeah. Right. But it's fantastic. Different. It's good. Those tomatillos got a little tang to them. They're not sour, but it's just a little bit tangy. And that's a really different profile than most chilies are. My mom made chili. There was always some sugar in it because she liked to take the edge off the acidity of the tomatoes. So she always thought that sugar was the way that was going to happen.
And it does.
But people that eat my chili because of that influence, they're always like, there's something just a little different about it. And that's the cool thing about chili. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Everybody's family has some way that they've done
it's
a little
heritage.
Twist. And you know, you get to try it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And
man,
we're running out of time here, but I want to encourage people to go to our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. There's so many of these recipes on there. But on the right-hand side, you'll see all of our sponsors, and we encourage you to trade with our sponsors. Now more than ever, as the economy starts to slow down, it's time to support those who are supporting you, and they support this show. We want to send lots of love out to places like Garrett's Appliances.
Right.
Unsung Heroes. That company is so fantastic to do business with. I don't care if you're getting a basic refrigerator. If you're going to the big box store, you're losing out because they're going to job out the delivery and they're going to job out the service when it's time.
Right.
Garrett's has an army of service people.
Right.
They'll be in your house when you call them.
Right.
And that's fantastic. Another one is MyPillow. You can go on to MyPillow and the code is BBQ.
Right.
If you make your purchases for presents and stuff, you know, we might get a small commission on it. It might only be 5 cents on a pillow, but we'll take it because we pay for this show and we work hard to keep it on. So thanks for joining us. Make sure you check us out, like us on social media, and go out and make somebody really envious of your grill.
You've been talking to Grilling Guys or listening to us. We've been talking to you. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.